from moving or acting, to obstruct, to thwart, to check, to interpose obstacles or impediments. Now, over in Matthew 16:18, we're not going to take the time to go read that whole thing again. I think we've read that like 6 or 7 times. Y'all probably got it memorized. But in verse 18, Jesus was talking to them, and he told them, Peter had the revelation of, that he was the Christ, and he had told him, you know, flesh and blood didn't reveal him, but his Father which is in heaven. And he told him, talking about on that revelation, verse 18, Jesus said, I will build my church. And he said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's why I said this morning, the devil is not the biggest hindrance to the church.
Right?
Zach, I got some kind of little echoing or something going on with me. It may just be a little bit too much treble or something. Now, what I got wrote down, it says, the two biggest hindrances to the church is willful unbelief, or we could call it hardness of heart. The Bible does both of them with the same meaning, and rebellion. That's why I said it is not, the devil is not the biggest hindrance to the church. Can he hinder sometimes? Sure. The Apostle Paul told some of them that I wanted to come to you. He said, but the devil hindered me, right? He didn't stop him, but he did hinder him a little bit. But the devil's not the biggest problem to the church. It is the people. So, we got a lot to read this morning, and we're going to do a lot of skipping around for time's sake. Exodus 3:7. Now, this is where Moses was at the burning bush, and this is the first time God tells what his plans are, what he's going to do. We're going to start reading for time's sake in verse 7. It says, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And then he goes on talking about all that. Now, oh, I want to read verse 10 too. Well, 9 and 10. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now look at chapter 13. We're going to start in verse 1. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. And then he goes on telling them that they're going to keep this and all that. Y'all remember the story, right? He told them to put the blood over the doorpost and all that because God's bringing them out. I'm trying to lay a little foundation for where we're going is why I'm, and for time's sake, I'm having to skip around. Now, Exodus chapter 32, God has already brought them out, and we're not going to take time to read that. Moses is up on the mountain, and we know from reading the story that God's relating to him the Ten Commandments, right? Well, in Exodus 32, they rebel and they build a golden calf. Right. Now, look at Exodus 33. So God has already done part of what he said he was going to do, right? He's already took them out, but now they're out there in the wilderness. We all probably pretty much know everything they did in the wilderness. But he hasn't fully fulfilled it yet because he's taken them to the land that he said that flows with milk and honey. Now, chapter 33, and I'm going to start reading verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swore unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite. Now, listen, you got to pay close attention to this. Because what we get to a little bit later on, you got to remember this. God wasn't intending on them doing it in their own ability or their own strength. He said, I'm going to do it, right? But how's he going to do it? He's going to do it through them. He says here, and I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee, for thou art a, what?
Stiff-necked
people, lest I consume thee in the way. God is getting fed up with them. Fed up with them. See, a lot of times people don't think God gets fed up today. But I have scripture that says in New Testament, judgment begins in the house of God. And if it begins in the house of God, you know, and we are barely saved, what's going to be for the rest of them? Y'all remember, right, reading that scripture before? Reckon that means God's fed up, Sandy?
Yep.
Sounds like it to me. Yeah, he gets fed up. What's that mean? It means God is long-suffering. Absolutely. 1 Corinthians 13, God doesn't tell us to be something that he's not himself. So God is very long-suffering. God is very forbearing, you know, and God is very merciful. The Bible says his mercies are new every morning. But at the same time, there comes a time that is said, and if you keep going against that brick wall, judgment is going to come. Whether you're on the good side of judgment or you're on the bad side of judgment, right? Just like when you go to court for some reason or another, you can be on the wrong side of judgment or you can be on the right side, which rewards you of judgment. But judgment is coming, not just later on when we stand before the Lord. Judgment comes sometimes in our lives right now. Good and bad, right? Right now, for tithing and doing the things that we do and all of that, we are on the good side of the judgment that comes. But some are not on the good side of judgment when it comes. But he says here, you guys, you are a stiff-necked people. What's that mean?
Rebellious.
Yeah. You're rebellious. Now let's go over to Numbers 13. Gosh, we could hear a pin drop. I know. We're not used to hearing this kind of stuff anymore. And that's part of the problem.
That's right.
And then when you do have people that teaches it or preaches it, people's heads are going tilt, tilt, tilt. I just don't think that's right because that don't really sound like the God that I have made up in my head.
Right?
Right. But he is the God of the Bible. And he is however the Bible says he is. Now here in Numbers 13, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. Now skip down to, for time's sake, verse, I think it's 21. So they went up, talking about the spies, and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where whatever his name is, and all the rest of them, the children of Anak, were now Hebron, was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Now go to, let's see. Well, I'm going to keep reading that. It says in verse 23, and they came into the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. Now, these grapes is so big, you got two grown men on a stick carrying one cluster of grapes, and they got pomegranates and figs. So they're bringing back some of the stuff. It's just like God said, right? 24, the place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from them. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Exactly like God said. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. Now, didn't God tell them all these ites was in there?
Right.
And he said, I'm going to send my angel before you, right? We're going to take care of them. He says, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, now we know Joshua didn't, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. They're looking at themselves and they're not looking at what God said, right?
Right, right.
And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and also were in their sight. Now God done told them where I'm going to take you to, how it's going to be. You got all these enemies up there. I'm going to send my angel before you. So did they not know? Let me stop for just a second. Now I told you two of the biggest hindrances to the church is willful unbelief. Most people think unbelief is because you don't know something, but that's not true. Right? Did they know?
Yeah.
Did they know God's plan?
Yeah.
Did he start it? Did he take them out just like he said he would?
Yeah.
Did he tell them, you know, all this stuff that it's got up there, it's a land full of milk and honey? Was that the truth? Was that the facts? Was it, did they find it really like God said that it was?
Yeah.
Why won't they believe you then? They choose not to. That is exactly what willful unbelief is. You take the story of Thomas. Some people call him Doubting Thomas or whatever. But y'all remember the story? Jesus had appeared to his disciples and Thomas wasn't there at the time.
Yeah.
And then Jesus leaves, Thomas comes in later, and they tell him. Jesus was here, you know, and tell him all this stuff and everything. And what does he say? I will not. Did you hear that? I will not believe lest I put my fingers in the nail prints, right? So did he have a choice to believe what they said? I mean, Jesus had already told him what was going to happen before he ever left here, right? So it ain't like he didn't know the plan that Jesus had said. And then now you've got the disciples telling him that, hey, he did exactly what he said, and he came, and we saw it, and I saw him, and all this. But he says, I will not believe. How many of us sitting in this room today, listening by way of faith, we choose not to believe?
Amen.
Y'all not saying nothing. Has God ever come through for you? Has he ever worked out a problem for you? Has he ever worked out a situation? Has he ever healed your body? Has he ever come through in finances that you didn't have a clue where it was going to come from?
Yes.
Then why ain't you believing him on the next time?
Right.
It's called willful unbelief. I choose not to. This book tells me how good God is, right? I mean, he's good in the morning, he's good at noontime, and he's good at nighttime. He's good all the time. The Bible says in Psalms, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is what?
Good.
The Bible says his mercies, they're new every morning, right? He's very merciful. He's very loving. He's faithful. One of Jesus' names is faithful and true, right? He ain't never failed to one of us. If something didn't happen like God said that it was, like it was supposed to, guess what happened? Me and you missed it somewhere. We either missed it in the hearing or we missed it in the believing and the carrying out of what he said to do.
Yeah.
He never misses it.
Right.
Ever. So how come we don't trust him sometimes? Is it because you don't know? How come you don't tithe? Or how come you don't tithe every paycheck?
Yeah.
Ain't that what the Bible says? Every paycheck. Well, I didn't go to church last week. Well, did you get paid last week?
Yeah.
Oh, y'all not saying nothing.
No.
Well, you don't understand. My water bill's past due. Yes, I do understand. And God understands it very well. What's he say? Tithe and trust me. Will I not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing? There's not room enough to receive it. Is he a liar?
No.
He ain't ever lied to nobody.
Right.
And he's faithful and true to his word. And he says that he watches over his word to perform it, to make sure that it comes to pass in our lives, right? So there's nothing lacking on his part. So then how come I won't forget about the water bill? Look at God. Look at what he's promised me and what he says and tithe. Is it because I don't know? What's the reason?
You will not do.
I choose.
That's right.
Not to.
Right.
That is willful unbelief. Now Jesus said there in Matthew 16:18, he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, right? What are we supposed to be doing? Didn't he say, the works that I started, y'all finish? Didn't he say, great things I do, but greater things you'll do because I send to the Father? What's he doing right now? He, according to his own words, he's building his church, right? What are we supposed to be doing? Help him build his church. How do we do that? Number one, we got to believe him. We got to trust him. We no longer can have this willful unbelief.
Yeah.
See, it's a different thing when you don't know. But then when you know and you still choose not to believe, not to trust him, not to obey him, now you have become rebellious. And that is one thing that God cannot stand, is rebellion. It is the very reason that the devil himself was kicked out of heaven and all his cohorts with him.
Right.
And he ain't that what he makes himself out to be. He is a fallen angel, Sandy. He's not God's co-equal.
Right.
Like a lot of Christians think he is. And where are we at? Y'all remember? What?
Numbers 13:33.
Oh, we got to 33? Okay. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. You're looking at the wrong thing. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, it says, looking unto who?
Jesus.
The author and the finisher of what?
Right.
Don't be looking at you, Lotbill. Don't be looking how dumb you kids acting. Oh, I know y'all's kids don't act dumb. Just mind this sometimes. Don't be looking at your grandkids don't want to pray. I told Aubrey the other day, I was on the way to school, and we always prayed. I asked her whatever we need to pray about or whatever. And I said, okay, it's your turn. And she don't like to do that. She's a little shy. And she said, well, I don't know how. I said, yes, you do. I said, Jesus wants you to talk to him just like you talk to me. I said, because he loves you and wants to hear from you. You know what she said? Grandma, that's not true. I said, Aubrey. I said, Grandma does not lie. I said, and that is true. I said, now let's pray. So I understand when things, I'm telling you, my grandkids are totally opposite of anything I ever thought they would be. They don't look like I thought they would look. They don't act like I thought they would act. I mean, I'm thinking them kids, I raised mine from the time he's 2 years old, we got born again in the house of the Lord nearly all of his life. Then my grandkids are in the house of the Lord from the moment of conception nearly, and they come out. Now, Aiden, he's a little different story. You can't understand him, but he's going to say that blessing.
Yep. All right.
And the end of it, I understand. He says, amen. Now, whatever he said in between, I don't know. Where Aubrey is totally different. She don't want to pray. She don't want to talk about Jesus or none of that stuff. So I understand when family members, you're believing God, and most time when you're believing God for somebody, the devil wants you to look at something. Look at them acting worse. Look at them going to the honky-tonk. Look at them doing the drugs. Look at their rebellious attitude. Why? Just like you did here. They looked at the wrong thing, and it caused them to see themselves as grasshoppers in their sight, and they had willful unbelief, which is rebellion. And we're going to see what happens. Chapter 14. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept all night. If you're crying and praying all night, you probably ain't praying in faith.
Right.
I didn't say you won't ever cry when you pray. But if I've talked to people before, and I tell them, I said, well, just pray, you know. I prayed all night. Well, when you come in here looking like a basket case and you prayed all night, you didn't pray in no faith. You better go back. You didn't pray right. He goes on and he says here, verse 2, and all the children of Israel murmured against who?
Moses.
Oh, no. They did. Are you serious? It says, Moses and against Aaron and the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in the wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Let me see how far we're going to read that. 1 to 11. It says, then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, tore their clothes. These people were upset. It says, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it, it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land. Ain't that what he said?
Yeah.
He's just reminding them, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Ain't that what I'm saying this morning? I'm just reminding you, right?
Right.
Of what he said? It says, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, and land which floweth with milk and honey. Now notice what happens. Only what?
Rebel.
Rebel not ye against the Lord. I thought they was talking about Moses and Aaron. Y'all remember the story of Aaron and Miriam when they started talking about Moses?
Yeah.
What'd God say? He said, I heard what you said about me.
Yeah.
They're like, when, God, did we ever say anything bad about you? He said, when y'all heard you speaking against my servants, Moses and Aaron, when you speak about them, you speak about me. Right?
Right?
He says, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Okay. Y'all would think they would jack it up and get on it, right? No. Y'all would think y'all would when Scotty gets in here and tells us about all this faith stuff and how God's always come through and how he's... Woo! Y'all ain't saying nothing. Wouldn't y'all think we'd get all jacked up with faith and go out of here and do something?
Yep.
Why don't we? Some of us might. And listen, I'm not just talking to the ones in here. Y'all know we're on the internet and Facebook and all that other stuff. He says, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Faith just is a major, it's like a piece of sand inside a clam. Faith is a major irritant to people with willful unbelief. They cannot stand it. And that's exactly what's happening here. It says, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones. What's that mean? It means they wanted to stone them. Why? Just because of that, he said, we can do what God said we can. God's with us. He's for us. Their defense has departed from them. They want to stone them for that. It says, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people do what? Reckon it provokes the Lord today?
Yeah.
Willful unbelief and rebellion? When your bills are due and you just cry all night and you can't figure out where in the world you're going to get the money from? Where'd you get it from the last time?
Right.
There's a song I really like, and the Lord has brought that song to me before when I've been in a trial or whatever. And I can't remember the name of the song, but some of the words, it says, hasn't he always come through for you? You know, if he did it back then, he'll do it again, right? Every time God starts talking to me about money, saving money, paying something off, something other, I don't have any, Johnny.
Right.
And for years, that bothered me. I couldn't figure that out. But finally, my elevator went to the top, Sandy, and I got a clue. If God's talking to me about money, and I don't have none, something's coming. I mean, really, my elevator didn't go up about that for a long time. God's not going to talk to me about something that I'm never going to have to deal with or use or do anything with. I ain't got it right now. So he's telling me when something's coming in, do this with it. Do this with it. Save money. Pay this bill off. Buy that. Do this. Whatever. Give this amount or whatever. And I always wouldn't have it. And I would think, well, God, if I had some, I would do it. You know what he's saying? I'm telling you it's coming, Teresa. Just believe me. Right?
No.
But no, I didn't. A lot of times I didn't. Willful unbelief. It wasn't because I didn't know. Finally, my elevator went up. Now, I want him to talk to me about money, Cindy, because I know it's coming. Where do we get to? Let's see. Yeah. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will the people provoke me? That provoked God then, and it still provokes him now. It angers him. One of God's greatest desires is to be believed and trusted. He goes on and he says, and how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have shown among them. Now they're out there in the wilderness, and God has done some major miracles. Manna out of heaven, right? I mean, brought them out with wealth, gold, silver. The Bible says not one sick among them. Do you know how many people that said that was? Right. Close to 1 million or more. And not one of them is sick or feeble. And you got old people and young people. He did some major things. Now they're here, and they still choose not to believe. Now, let's look at verse 22, I think it is. Yeah. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit within him, it says, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Let me see how far I wanted to go with that. Yeah. 25. It says, now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn ye and get ye into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Remember that. Now look at verse 39. I'm doing this skipping because of time's sake, because I'm not even where I want to go yet. Verse 39. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. Now, because they did this, God says, all of y'all except Caleb and Joshua are going to die out here in the wilderness except for your children. You're going to wander around out here for 40 years, right? Because of your willful unbelief, your rebellious, your stiff-neckedness, right? He tells them all that. Moses tells all that to the people. And Moses told these things unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose up early in the morning and gat them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we'll go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. You still ain't changed.
Right.
You mourned all night. What's the problem here? Still willful unbelief. Still rebellion. Right. Why? God just said over here in verse 29, he said, don't go. Go back into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Didn't he say that?
Yeah.
Now what are they saying? They cried all night. They mourned all night. We've sinned, God. We're going to go do it, Johnny. No, you ain't. Why? Because now he said, don't go. Y'all look real confused. Sometimes there's things that we got to do that we got to time it on.
Right.
And just like this, I can tell you right now, according to the Bible, his children are promised 120 years, you know, and that's up to us whether we live out that full thing or not, you know. But do you realize to God, we're not even here one day? Well, the Bible says with God, one day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as one day. You ain't never going to make it 1,000 years here. So what is my point to all that? Time is wrapping up, people. And Jesus said, right now, he's building his church, and our job is to help him build his church. What's that mean? Do whatever he says. Well, I'm too busy. Well, you better get unbusy. Because you're too busy about the wrong thing. If you're too busy to help Jesus build his church, what does that mean to help him build his church? Well, one big thing is tithing. Y'all still ain't saying nothing. One big thing is tithing. Well, you don't understand. I can't afford it. Willful unbelief. See, you knew it. You know to do it, right? And you don't do it. And you're hurting yourself. And you're not helping him build his church. Why? To build his church, we got to have finances. Why? We got buildings to buy. Y'all sitting in the warm? Hey, a little too hot for me, but anyway. Y'all sitting in the warm this morning, right?
Right.
All y'all sat, got your little fannies on, padded pews or chairs, right? Y'all got, we got lights on here, right? We got internet back there to reach the lost and to help be like vitamins to Christians, right?
Right.
Do y'all think all this stuff was free?
No.
God just rained it out of heaven?
Nope.
Like he did the manna? No. It comes from tithes and offerings. God's not up there counterfeiting U.S. American dollars. How does he get it to us? Through his people that helps him build his church.
Right.
What are some of the other things? Anything the church needs done. Scotty asked you to start service. Oh, I can't. Good Lord, I just can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. You know what you're saying? Number one, God, he ain't led. Y'all not saying nothing. God, he ain't led because you know I can't. Been there, done that myself over several things. God, hey, number one, I know you put him over me, but he's not led. I know he says he's a man of God. He's not led today, Lord, because I can't do it. I bet you can. I bet you can. See, I know your pastor, and I know he endeavors and does his best. Has he ever missed? I'm sure he has. Every one of us has missed things before. But we endeavor to miss it less and less, right? He endeavors to be led of the Lord, anything he asked you to do here. So if he asked you to start the service, you better believe he had a little something from God about you starting the service. So guess what you need to do? Get your little fanny up here by faith and do it. Believe God. Ain't that what they was? See, we like to think about ourselves. We wouldn't be like them.
Right.
Oh, when I get to heaven, I'm just going to kick Adam and Eve right square in the rear end. Do you realize you would have done the exact same thing?
Yeah.
I have done the exact same thing. You have done the exact same thing.
Wow.
But we like to think of ourselves, we would never. A lot of us do it all the time. Over all kinds of stuff. Right? I got to get on with this. Now y'all made me lose my place again. Where are we?
40.
Am I supposed to read 40? Yeah. All right. And they rose up early in the morning after God said, don't go, and got them up into the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we be here, and we will go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned. You're still sinning. We have sinned, God, but we're going to do it now. No, now you're sinning again the opposite way. He goes on and he says here, and Moses said, wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you. He says that you be not smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword. Because you are turned away from the Lord, therefore the Lord will not be with you. But they presumed. This is a major thing. They presume to go up unto the hilltop. Are you serious? God told you don't do it yesterday. God told you to do it, you wouldn't do it. Now he told you don't do it yesterday, and you're going to do it today. And then Moses comes and tells you again, don't go, the Lord ain't with you. They're going to put a whooping on you. What did they do? You reckon they would stop? Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwell in the hill, and smote them, and discomfited them even unto Hormah. So they got their tail whooped. Why? Did they have to?
No.
Disobedience. Do you realize that's some of the reason why we have some of the problems we have in our lives. And we pray and we cry and we fast and we say, God, why does this happen to me? Why am I having these kinds of problems? Sometimes it's nothing more than my willful unbelief. God says, go to church. I'm tired.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you, Johnny, for that route. You're the only one.
I get tired.
God says, go to church. I'm too tired. This is my only off day. Well, guess what? I have to have my Sabbath on Saturday because I'm working right now. Y'all get to just sit there and listen and get fat. Y'all not saying that. Now, Hebrews 3. We are not going to have time to read all that, I don't think. We ain't even got to where I'm going yet. That was foundational. May not get to it today. Monty just may have to let me have his turn next week. He ain't in here, you notice. No, I'm just kidding. Monty does his thing and I do mine. We all obey the Lord. There's always the next Sunday if the Lord permits and we ain't gone. Where is Hebrews in this Bible? Now, I want to start in verse 5. It says, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which we were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, doesn't the Bible say we are the house of the Lord?
Yeah.
Yeah, we read that on earlier studies. It says, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. So there's an if in that. It says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice. Is this New Testament?
Yes.
Does he say, today, if you'll hear his voice?
Yeah.
Right, today. If you will hear his voice, what? Harden not your hearts. Who's doing this?
We are.
The devil. The devil. Are you serious? It says, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. What all this whole thing is referring to is everything we just got through reading and more in the Old Testament. He goes on, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. Verse 9, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation, so we can grieve God today, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you, what? An evil heart of unbelief. My. I thought we was different than them. Now that's what he says. Do you know another place that says all of this stuff was written for our examples? Why? So we don't do what they done? He goes on and he says, verse 13. He says, well, 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Let me read verse 12 in the Amplified. It says, therefore, be aware, brethren, take care lest there be in any of you a wicked, unbelieving heart which refuses to cleave to, trust in, and rely on him, leading you to turn away and desert or stand aloof from the living God. Now, verse 15. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Now, what was their sin? Their willful unbelief, which is rebellion. He said, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of what?
Unbelief.
Why'd they have unbelief? Because they didn't know? Because they couldn't trust the Lord? They didn't know if he did miracles or not?
No.
Chapter 4. Let us, Therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? But then you got to remember over there in James, it says faith without works. It's no good. It's the same as unbelief, right? He goes on here, and he says, verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place, seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day. Go skip on down for time's sake. 6. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Why does he keep saying that? That's our job. To make sure that our heart don't get hard. That when we hear it, we do it. We hear it, and we do it. Now, I've got just a few minutes left here. Hebrews, I think I want to do Hebrews 3. I don't think I'll have time for that. Let me see what that is right quick. Oh, no, that's what we just got through reading. And it goes all the way through to chapter 4, all the way down to verse 16. Look at Matthew 9. That's where I want to go right now. Show you something Jesus said. Verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Notice this. Teaching in their synagogues. I told you last week, he didn't just go about healing everybody. No, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, excuse me, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are what? Abundant. Few. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. I've been here 20 years praying that prayer. And very few over the years have done much. Now, there's some of y'all in here right now. Some of y'all do a lot of stuff, a lot of stuff. And we're so grateful and we're so thankful. The thing we're supposed to be doing is helping Jesus build his church. Just like today, I'm going to unload the box truck. Now, I used to help unload it. I usually don't now because usually there's enough men in there. You know, they're like, get out of the way. We got it, blah, blah, blah. So I just go on most time now. But then you got some, they sit in here and they hear it every month, sit in here and hear it every month, and ain't touched one box. Are you helping Jesus build the church? Now, I'm not saying everybody's got to be a box holder. Don't get that. Everybody in here ought to be helping Jesus build his church. Keeping the nursery. Woo! Help me, Jesus. It's helping Jesus build his church. Why? Because some of y'all, some of my grandkids need to be back there. So all of y'all can hear what's going on in here. And then by faith, I do it. And his grace. But sad to say, you got people that come to church, I'm going to get my blessing. They never think about helping Jesus. Listen, if you're not willing to help Jesus build his church, you're not willing. I mean, you're unqualified to do anything in the kingdom. Absolutely. If you're not willing to do everything and anything that he needs, then you unqualified yourself from doing anything you think you're capable of doing. Right? So we need to get this thing in gear. And I'm not just talking about just us here. Y'all know that. Talk to people all over. You got people all over the place. They know they're supposed to go to church and be faithful going to church. You got people all over the world, Christians, that say they are Christians. They're Christ followers. They do not tithe, and it's not because they don't know to tithe. Got Christians all over the world that go to the house of the Lord, that they go to church, and they've been there 15 years and ain't done one cotton picking thing to help. Did I just say that? Yeah, I did. I sure did. And see, the thing about it is, you hurt you when you do that. You hurt me when you do that. You hurt the lost when you do that. Why? We're all connected people. And the lost is nothing more than building material for the church. People, I've heard people say they called to preach, and I ain't heard to preach but one time in 15 years. Are you serious? We got to get with it, Johnny. And I'm not saying you're not. We all are. But I believe the Lord is admonishing and encouraging us to get this job done. Why? Because He's coming.
Amen.
I've got to stop because actually I'm a few minutes over.